Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is the natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Writes a couple different newsletters, one that is focused more on metals, another that is really focused on cannabis stocks. We're going to stick to the metals here, at least initially. And I want your updates here, Sean, on gold. Gold, it's a relatively boring market right now, but April is looking like it's going to be an up month for gold, and even more importantly, a potential trend change direction when it comes to gold, as gold was in a 7+ month correction, and now we are seeing a bounce. The question is this bounce sustainable, and is that the bottom for gold just last month in March? Sean, what do you think about the gold market and the rebound this month?
Well, you hate to call the bottom, because just as soon as you do that, gold goes and breaks your heart. However, on my Twitter feed, I just put two charts, which I've been using in a discussion with my bosses when they're talking about what do we talk about next? What do we do next? I think gold has put in a serious bottom here, and I have a weekly chart of gold and a daily chart of gold showing what's going on. And we have on, for example, the daily chart, we have a nice double bottom. There was a bottom back in March, and then in late March, early April, you can see that in there. And now the 20-day moving average, which is the short-term trend, is rising above the 50-day moving average, which is the intermediate trend. I don't want to get too technical for people, but what that means is this is accelerating. It's a move that is accelerating. Looking at volume, looking at momentum, all those things, we are seeing gold start to pick up. People wonder why. Well, we know that the printing presses have been going insane lately, right? I mean, 35% of all U.S. dollars that have been printed were printed in the last year. And there is inflation. And inflation is hotter than the federal government admits. It's probably running about 4% per year. I'll be writing a column about that this Thursday in my Wealth Wave newsletter, which is free, wealth-wave.com. Go there 3 times a week. I like write stuff. And I think inflation is starting to reshape the market right now. Gold is known as an inflation hedge. Sometimes it does act like it, sometimes not, but it's generally known as that. And so I think that's one reason why it's becoming more popular as well.
Okay, so it sounds like you think the bottom is in. Again, we don't necessarily want to make those kind of predictions, but after a 7-month correction, over a 7-month correction, what sort of a recovery would you expect to see for gold having to take out all these different now resistance levels on the upside?
Well, one thing it has to do is it is in a like channel that's moving down, and that channel started back in August when gold topped out at $2,089 an ounce. So it has to break that down channel. Basically, there's overhead resistance in that down channel around 1800. So it has to get above that. Once it does that, then the August high comes into play. The August high would be 2089. So then we'll see what happens there, right? Now, gold can break our hearts anywhere along the way, but those are the two levels I would watch. If it can get out of this down channel, which is pushing above 1800, that will be a big first step. And then we have to look toward moving beyond the August high.
So, Sean, you don't see a number of other, let's say, resistance levels on the way up, even if you look at something like the 200-day moving average or any of the other, say, 1850 levels that were, or 18, but more about 1875 levels that were support at one point and then also have turned into resistance now during the
time? I know. They all break our heart, don't they? But here's the thing. I mean, all right. So we have the 200-day moving average, which is currently at 1854. That could be problematic. But I mean, we'll just have to see what happens, because moving averages matter until they don't, right? And until you push through them. If this is a bottom, if we're seeing a bottom in gold right now, then that 200-day moving average will really just turn out to be short-term resistance. It'll probably hesitate there for a little while, maybe pull back a little bit, and then go higher. So the two numbers I'm looking at is, can it break out of this channel going down? That's the most important thing. Once that gets out of the way, the next thing that I'm going to keep in my mind is, all right, if we are in a new uptrend, it has to go back and has to challenge that old high. So that's why those are my two big numbers. There are other important numbers, as you say, but, you know, those are the two that I would really be focusing on.
Fair enough. Now, are there any other markets that you're looking at to give you a little bit more clarity on if gold is going to break 1800 and where it goes from here?
Well, as I said, watch inflation. That's important. I would watch what happens as they try to work out the new stimulus bill. You know, I mean, how much will that actually be? I know that they want to rebuild roads, bridges, trains. Will they also do some of the other stuff they were talking about? Really, we have no size what the size of that package will be. But when you have to borrow all the money you're going to spend, government spending becomes inflationary, and inflation is a major driver of this right now. One thing I am watching is a market that's kind of fallen asleep recently in a good way, and that's crude oil. I mean, we saw crude top out back in like March, and it's just been going sideways since. And this is interesting because at the same time, U.S. oil production has just dropped. It has cratered. And so in the U.S. anyway, and yes, it's a global market, things get shipped around the world, you know, there is going to be less supply coming on at the same time that we're seeing economic growth rise a lot. That tends to lend itself to the idea of a supply-demand squeeze. So I'd be watching what happens with crude oil. Why? Because if crude oil does start to move higher, that, again, is inflationary. And that all feeds back into the same theme that we're talking about with gold.
So it's all about inflation. You're not alone watching inflation and some of the recent data, which we have seen a general uptick in. But again, we need to see more sustainable, higher inflation, I think, to really make the markets or investors take notice. And I know we can all look at different inflation data, but I'm talking about the ones that the government gives us. Let's also talk about industrial metals, because those are doing very well. Copper looks like it just broke out to new all-time highs. It's been a fast run for copper higher, and that goes with all industrial metals. They are doing well. Sean, how are you viewing the industrial metals, and then how are you playing the underlying stocks?
We own a lot of stocks of companies which are leveraged to industrial metals, whether you're talking about copper, steel, iron, aluminum. They're all doing well. I mean, and in fact, we have one Schnitzer Steel with a gain of over 100%. You know, so one thing that I'm doing is we may be close to a short-term top in certain metals. And people have to understand, things don't move in a straight line, right? And there's always pullbacks, and that's a great time to buy. But if you're racking up nice big gains, it doesn't hurt to take some money off the table. That's what we're doing. We took half gains on like some positions last week. We're taking half gains on other positions this week. We're going to keep doing that because, I mean, you take gains on the way up. That's how you lock in gains. Because one thing that's happened in the last year that's been quite noticeable is that things are generally moving higher. You know, part of that is due to all the money that the central banks are shoving into the system. But also we're seeing money rotate. That is, certain industries and sectors go into favor, and then the money rotates to some other place for some reason, and so they fall out of favor. And they can fall out of favor for months. I mean, and so that's why taking gains on the way up, for me, is really a like system that works well, because it makes my subscribers happy. They get more in their bank account. And since we're only taking half gains, we're leaving the rest of the position on with some incredible wiggle room, because we already locked in nice big fat gains. So if I was going to give one more piece of advice to your listeners, is know when you should take some gains. You know, because you don't want to wait, because it's so hard to pick tops and bottoms. It really, really is. You like to take some money along the way, because that really works to your advantage.
So, Sean, are you playing the big boys when it comes to these industrial stocks, or have you been tempted by any of the smaller companies, some of the explorers, or I guess early stage developers?
We have both. In the industrial metals, we don't have any explorers. We have some developers, and we also have large and small producers. So, you know, I mean, there's no right way or wrong way to actually play these. It depends on your own time frame and how comfortable you are with risk. And you know how much money it takes to build a copper mine. I mean, those things are insanely big, right? So, you know, that's a higher risk than, say, a copper producer. So it depends on what you're comfortable with. I think that you should be looking across the broad spectrum of the market, because what works out the best in the intermediate term could really surprise you. You know, I mean, we like to think we know what's going to happen, but then we get surprised all the time.
Yes, we do. But that's the markets, right? Don't get ever too married to one trade, because nothing goes straight up and you can get caught off on the wrong side. So, Sean, it sounds like it's still all about inflation, because even industrial metals, still all about inflation there. But do you think that industrial metals, even if they continue to run higher, and even considering copper is at all-time highs, doesn't seem to get the same publicity in the mainstream media? So that could mean that a lot of the generalists aren't investing in that sector or aren't even paying attention. What do you think it'll take to bring in more investors into more of the industrial metal space?
That is a great question, right? I mean, what will really make people wake up and just take notice? I mean, will it take, say, copper hitting $5? Maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe that's when Wall Street will wake up, or not even then. But the beauty of it is, I mean, we might be thinking, gee, if only the big guys were like chasing these stocks, then I'd be making so much more money. But the beauty of it is, now you get to play in it before they get interested. You'll be well positioned when Wall Street finally wakes up, smells the coffee, and goes after these things. You're going to be really well set. So don't mind the fact that they aren't into this stuff yet, but they will be sooner or later. Maybe at $5 for copper. Who knows? I really don't know what that magic number is.
And again, nobody does, right? But all you
can do
is try to be invested in some of the better companies and understand that there is a pretty strong uptrend here for industrial metals, but they've moved very quickly. And that's not necessarily something that you see in industrial metals in terms of a sustainable run. So, hey, overall, very encouraging for the industrial metals and the companies mining those metals. But there is still that balance of what it's going to take to push industrial metals even higher and filter that money down into some of the smaller stocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for taking time. And hey, we'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Sounds good. You have a great one.